All right. So it's 7:14. So that means I had to finish by like 7:35, something like that. Okay. So, anyways, thank you very much for this opportunity to be here. I just don't see the Guatemalan flag. I don't know what happened here. You know, Amazon, you can get it for $5. You know, and Prime, you can get it in one day. So I don't know what's going on right here. You know, I find someone right here. You know, and they said, "Hey, brother. So, are you ready to go?" "Yes." "You wanna go?" "No, but I'm ready." You know, and then he started singing. You know, that song that says, "I have decided to follow you," and there's no turning back. Of course, even if I want to turn back, I don't have papers yet to turn back, you know. so no turning back, amen. So that's a blessing to be here. You know, I had to hurry up. Brother Pichardo literally told me like 11 times, 20 minutes. But I know deep in his heart, he says 4 minutes extra is okay. So, you know, it's my last time, so let's see how it goes, okay? So anyways, my name, for those that don't know me, my name is Luis Hernandez. And my wife is over there, and I have my son and my three girls. And we are from this church. This is our home church. And we go mainly to the Spanish department. But that's why many times you don't see me right here. And then I got a call to go back to my country in Guatemala to go preach over there in Guatemala. So that's where we're going. We have a vision and we have a plan. And I don't have time to go over that. But if you go in the back of this booklet, whatever it's called, you're going to find my name right there. And you're going to see some of my vision right there. You can read it whenever you have time. Okay, we're leaving tomorrow at 11:50 p.m. That's when the plane leaves, and we're going to be in Atlanta and then Guatemala at 1 p.m. And you know, I have some very good news that I reserve for today. And Pastor don't know, and many people don't know, but finally, next week, after many years waiting, I'm finally going to be a legal citizen. What do you mean? Why? You getting the green card? No, I'm going back to my country. That's why I'm going to be a legal citizen. Amen. So, amen. It's a blessing to be here. Amen. So, anyways, I have a couple of prayer requests. You know, pray for us that, you know, we went to do the COVID test this morning. You know, it hurts. It's a big thing like this, and it goes, oh, no, it doesn't. It's not like that. It's just a little thing right there. It's quickly, you know, we're waiting for the results. And you say, what happened? You're positive. I'm going to let you know so you can go too, you know. No, I'm just playing. We just got the results. We are negative, okay, so I can cough and sneeze, whatever, and don't go away from me, okay? Okay, so we are negative. So thank you very much again. Pray for us for wisdom. You know, and this is a challenging time. It's going to be a different way to start the ministry. And pray for us for protection. One of the fears that every pastor or every missionary has is to take their family away to another country. So just pray for us, please. Pray for our travel expenses. It's a lot of money, you know, to move to another country. So just pray for us. We are in need of some stuff. You know, some people, some guy told me before service, you know, hey, behave. I said, what do you mean behave? I said, yeah, don't rip people's faces off. No, not today. I need your money today, you know. So I want to thank you, all of you, Pacific Baptist Church, for everything that you guys did for me. I've been here in 22 years in America, and it was a blessing for me to be here. Thank you, everybody. You know, I love you, everybody, and you guys are going to be in my heart forever. Thank you for everything, and thank you for the Esposito family, bro. Joseph, I don't know where you are. I think you didn't come today, but there he is. You know, thank you for being my friend. Thank you for everything that you did for me, and I also thank you, Daniel, Ben, and all of them. I didn't come today. They're watching the presidential stuff today, baby, and Nano, Joanna. Thank you for everything, Miss Mary. Thank you for everything. We're going to miss you. And special thanks for Brother Timothy. I don't really see him today over here. But thank you very much. If you really want to know what a friend is, get close to Brother Timothy Esposito. That guy is a good friend right there. I love you, brother. I don't know where you are, but I'm going to have you in my heart forever. Thank you, Pastor Joe Esposito. I know you are watching probably. And I really love you a lot, brother, Pastor Esposito. I learned so much from you, and I'm really going to miss you too. And Pastor Myers, thank you. You know, when you became a pastor, you know, I was working with Brother Timothy, and I need an advice. And he said, just go talk to Pastor. I said, no, he's too white. quiet, he's not going to understand me. after I talked to him, you know, he's very easy to talk, you know. And thank you. You show me your support. And thank you for everything that you did for us. Okay. So I have like 14 minutes. I have like 14 minutes plus the 4 or 5 minutes that he's thinking to give me extra. You know, no, I'm just playing. I'm just going to go hurry up. So I'm going to ask you to please stand up, and we're going to pray. And then after praying, we're going to read the Bible. Please, I'm gonna pray in Spanish and you follow me in English, please. Señor, gracias por tus bendiciones. Bendice esta congregación, por favor. Dame tu gracia y tu favor. Que seas tú y no el hombre. Toma control de estas personas y toma control mío. Te lo pido en Cristo Jesús. Amén y amén. All right, thank you. You can open your Bible, please. I was gonna preach something else today, but that message was like 35 minutes. I said, no, I'm just gonna pray this one right here. And I think this is gonna be a blessing for many of you too. So last year when we were working right there in the ramp, we were working with Bro Timothy, and he was walking to the building, and I said, hey, Timothy, come here. And I said, I want to ask you something. And I said, hey, so I see you. I see Brother Ryan Ramirez. I see Stephen Myers too. You know, you guys are very blessed. But I see other guys that went to college with you, and I see them struggling all the time. What's the secret? And he said, giving, giving, giving. You know, like a few days later, I asked Brother Ryan Ramirez too the same question. And he said right away, giving. And I want to talk to you about today, about the blessing of giving. I know it's about reviving the vision, and I know that the rest of the guys are going to talk about that, but I'm going to talk to you about this. Luke chapter 6, verse 38, please. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. I'm going to do my best to read it in English so I don't waste too much time calling someone else. If you have it, you're going to read it with me, please, and when I count to three. One, two, three, give, and again, one more time. Don't waste my time because I only have 20 minutes, okay? Okay, Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Ready? One, two, three. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, press it down, and shaken together, and running over shall make. For with the same measure that ye. All right, so you may be seated. The blessing of giving. I had the opportunity to visit many churches, and you know, right here or in different states. And you know, when you are in the parking lot, you see the many cars coming into the building, to the service. And all of a sudden, you see that dark Dodge 1500 2020, you know, and a guy coming right there, a skinny guy with a beard right here. You know, he comes out of the truck, you know, all papi chulo, walking like that, you know. And you might say, hey, what's going on with that guy? That guy has money. You know, and some people, oh, he's selling drugs. He with the Chapo, with Mexico, he's selling drugs, you know. And you might think, you know, that's the case, you know. But after him, there is another car coming behind him, a 1980 Honda Civic, you know, breaking down all the time in the car like that. And you say, oh, poor guy. But let me tell you something. There is a difference in those guys. That one, probably, the one that is blessed is probably because he learned how to give to God, how to give to missions, how to give from his money to the Lord, to the ministry. And the other guy, probably he's in church, but he hasn't learned how to give to God. So there is a difference. So you might think God has favorites. No, he doesn't. It's just that he blesses everybody in a different way. So number one, he blesses you because he's a merciful God. He is going to bless you because he has mercy. Don't go over there, but you remember in the book of Exodus, is that how you say Exodus? You remember the people of Israel that were coming out of Egypt. And when they're coming out of Egypt, they were children of God already, but they were not obeying God. They were complaining all the time about what they didn't have. They were complaining everything, you know, and God kind of got mad at them. And he said, okay, I'm going to feed you. I'm going to give you bread in the morning, and I'm going to feed you meat in the morning. You know, they didn't deserve because they were complaining all the time. You know, that's the same picture that we have today. We have many Christians in the church, you know, that they complain for what they don't have, but they're not giving to missions. I mean, in other words, you know, the people wants God's blessing. Oh, Lord, give me money, give me this, give me that, but they're not doing anything for God. They're not giving to missions. They're not giving to their 10%. I was that kind of guy too. It was so hard for me when the offering plate comes, you know, looking for the $1, the 25 cents, you know, oh, what is it, what is it? 20, no, you, no, you, $1, $1, what is it, what is it? You know, it's just like you, just like you. I was like that, you know, but he's going to bless you because he is merciful. Sometimes, you know, we are struggling with money, and at the end, God is blessing you. You know why? Because he is your father. Because he's a merciful. Of course, I want his mercy. I want him. I want his mercy, but I don't want him to bless me just because, oh, just because you are my son, I'm going to give you. No, I don't want that. I want him to be happy with me. He's going to bless you because he's merciful. Probably you are one of those guys that, you know, three more days and we have to pay rent and you don't have money. Probably it's because you're not giving to missions. Probably because you're not giving your tithes and offerings. Number two, he's going to bless you because he's a responsible father. Yeah. You go to Malachi, don't go there, but in chapter 3 and verse 10, the Bible says that if you bring your tithes and offering to the church, he's going to provide you everything. He's going to give you your money. You know, I heard so many pastors saying, oh, give to the Lord and don't expect anything. That's wrong. Because the Bible says, prove me and I'm going to give you back to you. That's what the Bible says, yes or no. All in Spanish. That's what the Bible says. Even if it's in English, Cambodian, whatever, that's what the Bible says. Prove me. He's going to bless you because he's a responsible father. When you are being responsible and an obedient children to the Lord, he's going to be responsible to you to be, look, he's going to give you protection. He's going to give you health. That's why I don't worry about that COVID stuff. You know, I see people every 5 minutes putting a hand sanitizer. You know, I don't worry about that thing. You know why? Because I'm obedient to God, and I'm giving of tithes and missions. I'm giving, and that's why I know that God is the responsible Father, and he's going to protect me, he's going to provide me, and he's going to do everything for me because I'm being responsible to. Amen. Number three, he's going to bless you according to his will, W-I-L-L, will. In James chapter 4, don't go over there, in verse 3, the Bible says that we don't have because we don't ask, and when we ask for the wrongs, so we can spend in our pleasure, something like that, you know. So that's what the Bible says. So, but let me tell you something: God is not gonna bless you with something that is gonna take you away from the church. I heard so many people saying, "Oh, God bless me! You know what? I have a new job, and I'm gonna work Sundays. I'm gonna get double money." That's not from God, because God wants his people to come to church every time that the church opens. You know, that's the will of God, that every time that the church opens, you, I have to be right here in the church. But I don't understand how many people, you know, just because the Lakers are playing, they don't come to church. I don't understand, you know, how many people, just because it's going to be a presidential debate, they don't come to church. Come on. Yes or no? But anyway, that's out of the subject, right? But let me tell you, God is going to bless you according to his will. He's not going to give you anything that is going to take you away from the church. Yep. Number four, and this is my last point. Where is my prophetic child? Okay. He's going to bless you according to your faith and according to your generosity. Luke chapter 6 again and verse 38. Can you read it with me, please? The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressure down, press, yeah, whatever you say, and shake it together. And running together shall men given into your bosom. Yeah, you know the rest. Okay. So he's going to bless you according to your faith and generosity. So this is the way I picture two Christians every Monday morning. One Christian right here and the other one right here praying together. Lord, the guy here, Lord, please, can you give me this week $700? Please, I need $700. And I picture God calling the financial office, you know, Angel Mary. Where is Miss Mary? You know, she's in financial, that's why. You know, hey, how much money did this guy give? Oh, he gave $1, and he's asking for $700. Yeah, okay. Give him back $2.50, because he only gave $1. And this guy over here, how much did he gave? He gave $100, and he only kept $20 for him. Give him $2,000. That's the way that God is. Yeah. Believe it or not, that's the way God is. He's going to bless you the way that you are with him. Give, and he's going to be giving unto you. That's what the Bible says. You have to give the first step. You have to give the first step. If you don't give the first step of giving, he's not going to give anything to you. You're going to keep struggling with your same 1980 Honda Accord. You know? Because you don't give the first step. It's like that guy that wants to date a girl. You know? If he's just right there like a chicken, they don't talk anything, what's going to happen? Nothing's going to happen because he doesn't open his mouth. You know? Just be a man. Just get it over. You know, she's going to say yes or no, and that's it. You know? Anyways, you have to give the first step. And God is going to bless you according to your faith. Let me tell you something. In February, a pastor from Pasco, Washington, he called me. And he said, "Hey, Luis, can you come and preach for us in one of those, what is it called, love banquet, whatever, in February 14th? Valentine's, yeah. Yeah. So we went over there. We didn't have much money. So I told my wife, we're going to be $150 for missions this week. And some people might think, hey, you need the money for gas. I said, yeah, but gas approved me. So we put $150 for, what is it, for missions. You know, and the next day, a guy, like Monday in the morning, he came and he gave, hey, the Lord put in my heart to give you this, $150 back. You know, and then we received in the mail $100. And then three more people, they gave us like $300 in total. So in total, we had like $450 for gas and all of that to go over there. When we got to Pasco, Washington, the pastor tells me, here, this is for you, $1,500. You know, and let me tell you something. The same way that you do to others, that's the same way that they're going to do to you. When people come here, when missionaries come to the Spanish or pastors, Pastor Campa knows and God knows that I come to them and I said, here, $100, $200. You know what? In that right there, people will come after serving, give me $50, $100. You know, I brought back like a $5,000 out of the trip. You know why? Because the same way that you treat God, that's the same way that he's going to treat you. Yeah. Let me tell you something. You want to keep giving your dollar? That's how God is going to give you a dollar back. Or pesos. You know? Even worse. You know? If he gives you back a salad, send it to me. Those are from my country. Hey, or you want God to keep bringing you work, blessings. It's up to you. It's not up to the Lord. Okay? So anyways, that's it, bro. So what kind of blessing do you want? What kind of blessing do you want? You know, that's why I don't worry. That's why I don't worry. We need to buy a car. We need to build a house over there. We don't have money. But let me tell you something. I'm going to keep giving to missions. Because one of these days, the Lord is going to surprise me. Yeah. It's the same way to you. You have a need? You need something? Give to the Lord. No, you give me first and then I give you. It doesn't work that way. The Lord said, give first and then I will give you. Thank you very much, Pacific Baptist Church. It's my last time right here, so you can look at me. You see my beautiful hair. Thank you very much for everything. And I'm going to miss you all. And thank you.
Yes, sir. All right. I've got my missionary hat on now. How's that? And all right. There we go. Open your Bible tonight, the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 1. Jeremiah, chapter 1. Brother Luis, God bless you. I know where you're at. Well, I remember 20 years ago when my family and I left for the field, all those excitements and yet emotions that were going on. And God bless you, brother, as you head on your journey. And we go because we know this, that people need the Lord. And if we do not go, they will not know. And that's a choice we get to make. Have you ever heard the saying that, as you're finding Jeremiah chapter 1, and I'm finding Jeremiah chapter 1, and let's see also the book of Acts chapter number 18. Let's try both of those places. Have you ever heard the saying that if we're going to send the light, do you know how it goes? We have to pay the light bill. That's just the practical of it. When we turn these lights on, it's not because SDG&E is thankful we're here and they just want to be a blessing to us. They say, we'll turn the lights on because you paid the bill. And if we want the light to turn on in Guatemala, we've got to pay the bill. And that's just how it works. Jeremiah chapter 1, I'll get back to P&G a little bit better here. I didn't get the memo. But tomorrow, you just pray I keep my clothes on. No, just kidding. I told Pastor, it's either this or naked. What do you want? Okay, this is what we got. Jeremiah chapter 1 says in line number 17, "Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee." Brother Hernandez, that's God's message to you. Rise up and tell them the message that God has commanded you. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, and against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, Amen. To deliver thee. Years ago, when Titus was still with us on the field, in order to get our supplies, we had to take a tractor ride about 5 to 10 hours, depending on the weather, to drive 20 miles down to the river. And we would take a dinghy another 2 or 3 hours, normally about 3 hours, to get down to Dalru. And this particular time, our shipping of our shopping had not come for like 4 months. So the kitchen was empty. That's how we say it. The kitchen was empty. And so we were very anxious when we got the word that our supplies had finally arrived. Titus and I jumped on the tractor and some other guys and headed down to Dalru. On our way back, some of the guys from Dalru decided to come with us. Dalru is a little island that we currently live on. It's about 2 miles wide, 20,000 people, something like that, on that island. And so we headed up the river to get back to the road where our tractor was hidden. And as soon as we arrived at the side of the where the road was, I jumped off immediately, not minding there was a group of guys standing up on the bluff of the river there. I just ran to go get the tractor. It was probably 2 o'clock by that time, 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It all, not always, but most of the times it rains in the afternoon. And when it rains, everything gets worse. Because the closer we get to home, the muddier it gets. Are you tracking me now? Okay, visualizing that a little bit. And so I ran up, got the tractor, checked everything out, brought it back down the river, backed it up, and we just immediately started loading. Again, ignoring that there were guys up there. Finally, one of them comes up to me and says, "Hey, I want to..." No, excuse me. "I want to go to Weepim." Okay, now you understand. Is this guy normal? What's wrong with him? He's had a couple too many, right? Been drinking tuba. They make that from the coconut. And he's drunk. I said, "No, I'm sorry, you can't come. It's dangerous, you can't come." Well, he disappeared. We continued doing our work. As we got everything loaded, we got the canvas on top. Everything's nice and tight to keep the rain out. Titus is now sitting on top of the big pile of stuff on top of our trailer that is going to be towed by the tractor. Titus has his slingshot with him. Can you visualize Titus now with a slingshot? Because as I'm driving 2 miles an hour, he's going to be looking for birds to shoot. That's what boys do in Papua New Guinea. And so I jumped on the tractor, getting ready to go, turned the key on, ready to go. And off the side, my peripheral vision, I see a fellow coming at me, not with a knife this big. It was smaller than that, okay? But he's coming at me, hand up. He's not happy that I said no. And he comes at me at the tractor. And as I saw him coming at me at the tractor, what did I do? "Stop. In the name of love." No, I didn't say that. I jumped off the other side. He's on that side. I'm on this side. He's having a good fit with me. Some of our guys are standing up on the bluff watching this whole thing, and he's upset. He comes around this side, and so what do? I go around this side, jump over the hitch, and now he's over there, and I'm over here. Well, I got over here. He wasn't content to have this separation, social distancing going on, so he jumped over the hitch, and I just ran around the front of the tractor. I'm saying, "Hey, guys, stop him." They were just watching the show. And so I'm on this side, and we went around and around like that. And finally, he takes his knife, and he decides to stab the tractor tire. Don't worry, I didn't go through it. Okay. Stab the tractor tire, and as soon as he did that, all the air came out. I said, "Well, none of us are going tonight." He's still not happy. He came around, I went around. Okay, you get the story. He comes to this side and decided to do what? And he stabbed that one. Oh, double trouble. He's still not happy. I'm saying, hey, stop him. No one's stopping him. I'm running around, and we go around and around and around. Now I'm on this side, and he's on this side. He comes to the front one and tries to stab the front one. Bang, and he misses. He hits the rim of the tractor. It bends his knife. He was so angry, he put that knife in his mouth. No, he didn't do that. Okay, but he was angry. His knife is bent, and he went away pouting a little bit on his way. And so now the guys finally came down when the knife was out of the picture. The guys came down, and we're talking about, now, what are we going to do now? Finally made the decision, we can't stay right here. Let's get up the hill. So I start driving the tractor. What kind of sound the tractor going to make now? Blah, 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 blah. You've had a flat tire before, right? Right. We'll get up to the top, and we're almost to where I'm going to park this thing. And here comes these guys again. They're not happy. I'm sitting on the tractor. One guy, he gets over here. He's got a big stick. And he's taking that stick, and he's trying to pop holes in the radiator. But tractors have metal things in the front, you know. So he's not being successful. So he picked up a big log. Thankfully, it was a dry log. He picks up this log, and he throws it at me on the tractor. I duck my head. It breaks behind me because it was what? A dry log. Okay. And one of our brothers, Brother Mark. Hey, Brother Mark is like a grandfather to my kids. My kids used to sit on his lap and all that stuff that grandparents do. That's what Brother Mark does for my kids. But he has no money. That's the other thing he doesn't have. Brother Mark comes, and he's trying to get this guy away. This fellow over here, he hits Brother Mark. Boom, boom, in the face. Now, this Itambutru, that is against the rules in our culture. Young people do not talk back to old people. Young people definitely do not hit old people. Brother Mark takes two shots from me just like that. Finally, I jump off the tractor. I take my hat off my head. I said, okay, everybody, let's pray. Sound like a good idea? As soon as I said that, the band of drunkards, they just bowed their head just like that. True story. And after I said amen, they walked away. And they made their way to Daru, or back to Weeping. They made their way to Weeping without us. They got there before we did. What is missions work like? It is like what is described in Jeremiah chapter 1. Missions work tonight, Brother Hernandez and everybody else here. Missions work demands a man or a family who is willing to stick and stay and make it pay. The title of my message tonight is this, a missions-minded missionary. You say, Pastor, we're not all missionaries here. I know, but I want you to be. And I'm telling this, we got too many missionaries that are quitting. Too many missionaries that are quitting. God told Jeremiah, I have made thee this day a defense city and an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land. They shall not prevail against thee. Why? I am with thee to deliver thee. Hey, tonight Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 28, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. And then he said what? Amen. Hey, let me ask you tonight, do you believe that promise? Do you believe that promise? Even in the midst of COVID, do you believe that promise? Jesus promises to be with us on the mission field. How real and valuable is that promise to you? Acts chapter 18 tonight. Acts chapter 18. Brother Pritchard only told me 10 times, so that means he's not serious. Acts chapter 18, line number 9. The Bible says here, then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. He said, be not what? Afraid. Why did God say that to Paul? He says, then spake the Lord to Paul in the night. In other words, God's speaking to Paul because something is real in Paul's life. He says, hey, be not afraid. Why did God tell Paul, don't be afraid? He told Paul, don't be afraid because Paul was what? Afraid. Not only that, he says, hey, be not afraid, but do what? Speak. Have we ever found the Apostle Paul missing words? Paul's always got something to say, but somehow at this time, Paul is probably thinking about, hey, I better just keep my mouth shut. Every time I open it, something happens. So I think I'll just lay low for a little while. God says, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. Why? He says with me, for I, say it with me now, I am with thee. And no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Brethren, tonight, we need some missions-minded missionaries. Number one, something, who have the boldness of Peter and John, who have the boldness of Peter and John. You may know the story in Acts chapter number 3 where Peter and John went to pray. They met a lame man on the way. He asked for alms and held out his palms. And do you remember what Peter did say? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And what happened? He went walking and leaping and praising God, walking and leaping and praising God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Yes, I used to work in the bus ministry. Okay. Well, when this miracle happened, it was a notable miracle because everybody saw this lame man at the gate of the temple all the time asking for alms, and now he's standing up and walking like a Pentecostal, and he's having a good old time. Well, these guys called him into a council meeting. By the way, you always need to get nervous when there's a church council, okay? Always trouble for the apostles and disciples, okay? So they get called in Acts chapter number 4, and the Bible says this of them in line number 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. When they saw the boldness, skip back to verse number 7 of Acts chapter number 4. It says, now when they had set them in the midst, they asked them, hey, by what power and by what authority have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people. Or did he say, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel? Do you think he said it like that? I don't think so. This is Peter talking, okay? Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, hey, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he's got to have a pulpit, okay, whom he crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, come on. That was a good part right there. Let's try it again. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. All right, that sounds like a Baptist church. All right. You know, that took courage. It took divine courage of these guys where there should have been fear. My friend, tonight, we need missions-minded missionaries who have the boldness of Peter and John. Secondly, we need some missions-minded missionaries in this day, not only who have the boldness of Peter and John, but also to have the bravery of David. The bravery of David. Remember how he came down to the camp to bring food to his brothers down there in 1 Samuel chapter number 17? The Bible says, and as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David, the Bible says, heard them. And when David heard those words that his brothers had heard, all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, what did they do? They fled from them and were sore afraid. You know, and although David was just a young man, he realizes, hear me carefully here, the cause is greater than the cost. What could have been the cost in David's life? David could have lost his life. Right? David could have lost his life, but David said, hey, who is that man to be able to speak against our God like that? If I can't bite off his kneecap, I'll knock his head off. Or if I can't knock off his head, I'll bite off his kneecap, but I'm going to do something for God. Hey, my friend, we need some missionaries today who have not only the boldness of Peter and John, but the bravery of David, who will say, I'll go to that place where no one else wants to go. Amen. Brethren, today, the day is near of the Lord's coming, and many are lost. We need people who be willing to go to those hard places, be willing to live in a difficult situation. David said this, is there not a cause? Hey, my friend, tonight, the cause is greater than the cost. Missionaries need to know that there is a cause for which we go and there's a cause for which we serve. Just ask the missionary Jim Elliott. Jim Elliott and the other four missionaries understood that when they went down to reach those Alka Indians or whatever name the people are giving them today. They went down to those Indians because, hey, the government was going to come in and tame those people or kill those people because those people had been killing all these oil workers. And these missionaries said, someone's got to go and give them the good news before the good news turns into bad news and they die and go to hell. Someone's got to go. And these five men were willing to risk their lives. Not only these five men, but there were five women standing behind those men that understood the risk. They understood the risk and said, go ahead and go. because the cause is greater than the cost. Jim Elliot was that one who's recorded to say, he is no fool to give what he cannot keep, to gain what he cannot what? Lose. What is our life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. What is our life? Our lives are fragile. Isn't that right? Oh, I could die on the mission field. You could die on Magnolia Avenue. You're going to die. I'm going to die. God knows the time. He knows the date. He just like he knows my birthday. He knows my death date. It's an appointed time. If we trust him, there's nothing that we need to fear. Except fear itself. Okay. Trust the Lord. James Chalmers understood that when he tried to reach the people of Guadalupe Island. You may have not even heard of James Chalmers. James Chalmers was a phenomenal missionary with the London Missionary Society in the late 1800s. He went to Rowatonga, but there were missionaries there. He said, no, I want to go where the name of Christ has never been mentioned. And so he went to the island of New Guinea, not just the island of New Guinea, but the southern coast of New Guinea. Matter of fact, he made his home on the island that we call home today, Daru Island. James Chalmers' first wife died in a hospital in Sydney, Australia. James Chalmers found out about the death of his wife in a newspaper article that had come up. The Sydney Herald had come up, and he read about the death of his wife. James Chalmers was so dedicated to the work of God, he made this statement. He says, the nearer I get to Christ and his cross, the more I long for direct contact with the heathen. And I want to tell you, they were heathen. But you know, after hearing that his wife had died, his second wife had died on the island of Daru, and being challenged to leave the field on furlough, he made this statement, I cannot rest, and so many thousands of savages without a knowledge of Christ near us. James Chalmers continued on serving God there in the southern region of Papua New Guinea, of New Guinea. Until April 8th, 1901, he and his dear mate, Tompkins, we're on a trip to the what's today known as the Gulf Province and these little islands off of a big river over there, the Purari River. They went to this island called Guadalupe. I've been to that island. It's a desolate place. It's at the end of the end. Went to those people, tried to reach them with the gospel. They were sitting in a longhouse together when the ladies outside were making preparation. There was a plan already made. The men were inside telling stories with these two men, while the ladies on the outside were preparing. All of a sudden, the sign was given, and the first club came to James Chalmers' head. And then the second club came to Tompkins' head. And then the women began to frenzy, and they began to pull them out, and they killed those two men, and then they ate them that day. That's a true story. They ate everything, even the shoe. They began to eat the shoe and realized the shoe didn't taste very good. And so they left one. One of his shoes is the only part of him that's buried on the island of Daru is his shoe, right with his wife there on our island. Brethren, James Chalmers understood the cause is greater than the cost. Like Paul, these missionaries would have the attitude of 1 Corinthians 9:23, and this I do for the gospel's sake. I'm saying today we need missions-minded missionaries who have the boldness of Peter and John, the bravery of David, and thirdly, the burden of Esther. In Esther chapter 4, if you remember your story, the Bible, it's in the Bible. Esther chapter number 4, line number 15, Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Remember how Haman had tricked the king and there became a sentence of death for all the Jews. And boy, everybody's going to die. Even Esther, whose name was Hadassah, she's going to die, but she's a secret Christian or secret Jew, okay? And so Esther came and said, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me and neither eat nor drink 3 days nor night or day. I also, my maidens, will fast likewise. Boy, what a burden she had. And says, and so will I go in unto the king, and which is not according to the law. And if I perish, what does she say? I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Hey, brethren, there is a lost world who are without hope because they're without God today. Esther had a burden for her people. I wonder if we have a burden for God's people. You say, who's that? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Why? For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be?
Saved.
That the world through him might be?
Saved.
All right, that's the way it should be every time. might be saved. Don't you like that word saved?
Yes.
Boy, what a burden. Paul said of his mission field in Romans chapter 9, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, and my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have a great heaviness and a continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. What a burden Paul had. Romans 10, 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be
saved.
Oh, that they might be
saved.
Isn't that a beautiful word? Saved. How I love to proclaim it. Brethren, we need a burden tonight which comes from a brokenness for their blindness. You know, the world's blind. The devil has blinded their eyes lest they should believe. Brother, we need missions-minded missionaries who have the boldness of Peter and John, the bravery of David, the burden of Esther. Lastly tonight, the brokenness of Jeremiah. Yeah. I hope you're still in Acts chapter number 18. I'll be there in just a minute. In Jeremiah chapter number 9 and line number 1, Jeremiah said, oh, that my head were waters, and mine eye a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. You know, it's from Jeremiah that we get the Lamentations. He's known as the weeping prophet. Boy, the psalmist said it this way, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Brethren, we need missions-minded missionaries who have a brokenness of Jeremiah. I can tell you by experience, there comes a time on the mission field when those people irritate me. Do you ever feel that way about your mission field? You hear the boombox next door and you just want to go smash it instead of witness to them. We had one next door to us yesterday, but I'm glad they turned it off at some point. You know, there comes a time on the mission field where man, the burden is gone. These people don't even know how to live life, according to us. The brokenness is gone. I'm just telling you by experience where maybe you're upset more than you're happy because of all the differences involved. What is your expectation from missions and missionaries? Notice Acts chapter 18. We read the account just a moment ago. But in Acts chapter 18 and line number 6, the Bible says this, and when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, what did the Apostle Paul do? What did he do? He shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I'm clean. I'm not going to give you the gospel anymore. You don't even deserve the gospel. You're unworthy of the gospel. Does it sound like the Apostle Paul is broken for his people now? He's a little bit irritated at his people, isn't he? He's upset at his people. He says, from henceforth, I will go unto the Gentiles. Are you there with me in Acts chapter 18? Notice line number 7. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus. What's his name? Justus. It's going to be important in just a minute. And one that worshiped God. And entered into a certain man's house. We got that, Justus. He worshiped God, and whose house joined hard to the synagogue. Verse number 8. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, did what? Believed on the Lord and all his house. So we've got Justus is next door to the synagogue. He's next door to the synagogue. In other words, the church of the Jew. These people who just rejected the gospel by the hand of the Apostle Paul. He's living next door. Not too far away from Crispus. Now he's continuing to witness to Crispus. Now Crispus is the chief ruler of the synagogue. Can we change that a little bit? Give him another title that we would understand today. He's the pastor, okay? He is the leader of the synagogue here. And what happens to Crispus, the chief ruler, the pastor of the synagogue? Well, he believes on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. So what happens here? Crispus here gets born again. But the problem is Crispus is the pastor of the Lutheran church down the road. Can Crispus continue to be the pastor of the Lutheran church down the road? Now that he's born again? No, those people don't want to have him. So they're going to kick him out. He's gone. Lost his job. In the midst of this, in line number 9, we read that earlier. The Bible says, then spake the Lord to Paul in the night. And sometimes it takes us comatose for God to speak because we're so frustrated or we're so busy. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, and he said this, be not afraid. Now, why did God have to tell the Apostle Paul to be not afraid? Because Paul was probably what? Afraid. He tells now the Apostle Paul, not only be not afraid, but now he tells him to do what? Speak. Why did God have to tell him to speak? Probably because Paul was thinking about not speaking. And then he goes on to say, and hold not thy peace. In other words, he's ready to zip and lip and not say anything else. God now comforts him and says, hey, I'm with you. No one's going to hurt you. I have much people in this city. Don't worry. No worries, mate. It's going to be all right. Line number 11. As a result of the message he got from God, the Bible says now he continued. Hey, we need missionary-minded missionaries that will stick and stay and make it pay. He continued there a year and 6 months, 18 months, doing what? Teaching the word of God among them. He trusted God. God said, hey, don't be afraid. Don't shut up. Keep on going. I'm with you. It's going to be okay. Paul obeys that. He continues on. Line number 12. When Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul. Boy, they're united here. And they brought him to the judgment seat. Here it goes now. The Apostle Paul's been in situations like this before. I can probably imagine Paul, every movement, he maybe flinches. He's seen rocks come at him. He's seen fists come at him. He's heard words come at him. And now he's standing before the judgment seat here. Line 13, saying, these Jews are saying, this fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. And when Paul was now about to do what? Now about to do what? Open his mouth. He's obeying God. He's about to open his mouth. Gallio said unto the Jews, here we go. If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I'll be no judge of such matters. And the Bible says he drave them from the judgment seat. Line 17, don't miss it. Then all the Greeks took who? Who? Oh, you're getting tired already. Hey, I got 11 minutes. Hang tight. Not 11 minutes, 7 minutes, 6 minutes, 5 minutes, 4 minutes. Okay. Then all the Greeks took who? Sosthenes. Who is Sosthenes? The chief ruler of the synagogue. You see, what's his name? Crispus lost his job because he got born again. They got a new guy in there. His name is Sosthenes. How would you like to have a name like that? And what did they do? Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes. He's the guy who brought all these charges against the Apostle Paul. Then the chief ruler of the synagogue. And what did they do? They beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of those things. I can imagine Gallio saying, that's right. Might serves you right. Kick him again. That's a good one. Do you think tonight Paul rejoiced at the beating of Sosthenes? Do you think that? Turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I mean, after all, doesn't Sosthenes deserve it? I mean, Sosthenes is at the root cause of Paul standing before the judgment seat. Sosthenes is at the root cause of potentially the Apostle Paul being beaten and maybe even killed. This is the man who's responsible. Tonight, I think Paul probably told Sosthenes his own testimony of how he persecuted the Jews. Hey, Sosthenes, just like you, that happened to me. Watch me now. I have a feeling that Paul probably got Sosthenes, took him to his own house. Probably cared for him there, looking after him. He's got a washcloth. Let me get down here. Don't want you guys to miss it. He's got a washcloth, and he's wiping the blood off of Sosthenes, just waiting for him to wake up. And finally, Sosthenes wakes up, sees Paul. Don't worry, mate. It's all right. Taking care of you. And I think Paul probably began to tell him his testimony how, hey, I used to beat Christians just like you want to beat us. I used to accuse them. Matter of fact, I had orders from on top to go get people of this way, the way that I'm living, the way that I'm preaching. I had orders just like you. But there came a time when the Lord Jesus met me on the road, blinded me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. It blinded me. And I said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, hey, whom you're persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. I think the Apostle Paul was probably, do you think Paul maybe led him to Christ right there? Do you think so? I think they're shooting at us, okay? Look out. Persecution right now. I think Paul was able to lead him to Christ because he was bold like Peter and John. The Apostle Paul was brave like David, had a burden like Esther, was broken like Jeremiah. Notice with me, please, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and line number 1. Are you there? Are you there? Let's read it together. Here we go. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our what? Well, glory. What do you think about that? What do you think about that? This man who was an enemy of the church of God, this man who was an enemy of the missionary, this man who wanted to probably see the Apostle Paul killed, Paul was patient, Paul had a burden, Paul was what? Paul had a broken heart for this guy, was able to lead him to Christ. And now he says, hey, Sosthenes, our brother. Brother, we need some missionaries who have the boldness of Peter and John, who will have the bravery of David, who will have the burden of Esther, who have the brokenness of Jeremiah. We sang the song, maybe we did tonight, I believe so. So send I you, Brother Hernandez. You're going to feel it to labor unrewarded, to serve unpaid, unloved, unsought, unknown, to bear rebuke, to suffer scorn and scoffing. The Lord Jesus says this, so send I you to toil for me alone. Hey, doesn't that sound comforting? Go to the mission field, you might be there all by yourself. But are you all by yourself?
No.
Because Jesus said, I'm with thee. Amen. So send I you to bind the bruised and broken, or wandering souls to work, to weep, to wake, to bear the burdens of a world weary. So send I you to suffer for my sake. So send I you to loneliness and longing, with hearts a-hungering for the loved and known. You're thinking about In-N-Out and Chick-fil-A and Burger King and Alberto's and forsaking home and kindred, friend and dear one. So send I you to know my love alone. Tonight we need some missionaries who'll be willing to go to the hard places of the world, be willing to stick and stay and make it pay. As the Apostle Paul said, and this I do for the gospel's sake. Paul said this, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. Under the Jews I became as a Jew that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law as without law, but not without law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak that I might gain the weak. Paul said this, I am made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. And then here's the verse, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker with you. Tonight during your missions revival, I sure hope God's going to call someone into the mission field. But as you contemplate the mission field, you're going to have all kinds of worries, all kinds of frets, all kinds of trouble in your heart. Oh, I don't want to leave this. I don't want to do that. God says, I'm with you. If we could just have some boldness, some bravery, a burden, some brokenness for the lost. Father, I love you tonight. Thank you for giving me the honor to preach tonight. I pray that you'd encourage your people. I pray in Jesus' name.